Hello there everyone, I'm Rob. I hope you're keeping well. This week's edition of the Black Country Talking News is the 29th of June, 2022.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD, simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you very much, Christine. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Helen, Mina, Simon, Angela, Ed, Christine, Ian, Liz, Mary, Dave, Jan, Craig, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country, we have the weekly quiz with Mina, news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion, a Did You Know section for Flashback Roger, the weather, information about COVID and international travel, a 10-day workout, Craig's Black Country joke book, and rounding us off, we have some gardening tips for the month of July. However, we start this week with our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We have now then, as always, some local news, brought us by Ian, Angela, Ed, Liz, and first up, it's Christine.
Swathes of the Black Country's Greenbelt can be saved by building homes in shopping areas and on old industrial sites, a Lint report has claimed. A long-awaited study, commissioned by West Midlands Mayor Andy Street, questions whether councils have made the best use of brownfield sites in the controversial Black Country plan. A leaked copy of the report says hundreds of extra homes could be built on sites currently set aside for employment, taking the strain off Greenbelt land allocated for housing. It also says the true housing capacity of town and city centres is not reflected in the current version of the Black Country Plan and claims more than 1,000 extra homes could be built in the centre of West Bromwich. The independent review, conducted by Chilmark Consulting, urged councils to explore whether sites such as underused car parks and vacant town and city centre buildings could be used for housing. The four borough councils say they have no choice but to consider greenfield areas for development as they have exhausted all possible brownfield plots. But the Chilmark review has cast doubt on such claims. Campaigners will hope the findings lead to the removal of Greenbelt sites from the Black Country Plan, which details how the region intends to meet its housing target of 76,076 homes by 2039. In its final recommendations, the report urged council bosses to conduct a full analysis of capacity for homes in town and city centres, as well as undertaking work to further assess, evaluate and prioritise existing brownfield sites. The report also examined barriers to brownfield development, including cost and ownership issues. It urged councils to establish a long-term vision for brownfield regeneration and to demonstrate a more proactive delivery approach. This includes working in partnership with the private sector to unlock brownfield housing sites.
Black Country councils have been warned they risk missing out on millions of pounds in regeneration cash after failing to submit bids for government funding. Local authorities have been invited to bid for a share of £4 billion from the Levelling Up Fund to transform left-behind areas, with councils able to apply for up to £20 million for each parliamentary constituency. But since its launch last year, the only bid submitted has been from Wolverhampton Council, which landed £20 million for a new learning quarter. Dudley Council has come under fire from Borough Tory MP Marco Longhi, who urged council bosses to get their act together ahead of a potential third round of bidding. The Conservative-run authority did not apply for any funding in round one, which closed in July 2021. It is planning to submit bids for Hales Owen and Stourbridge in the second round, with Dudley South and Mr Longhi's Dudley North constituency forced to wait until round three. Ministers are yet to confirm whether a third round of bidding will take place. Mr Longhi said, "My colleagues and I are extremely disappointed that Dudley Council declined to bid on two separate rounds of government funding. It is now going to miss out on tens of millions of pounds that our town desperately needs. These are key funding streams the Prime Minister made available to level up and improve towns like Dudley."
Police and Crime Commissioner Simon Foster has announced Craig Guildford as his preferred candidate to be the next Chief Constable of West Midlands Police. Candidates have been grilled by a panel of young people from the region, stakeholders from partner agencies, staff and officers' representatives, and finally a formal interview with a panel chaired by the PCC. Those panels that were a representative cross-section of the West Midlands helped inform the Commissioner's decision. The preferred candidate to be the next Chief Constable, Craig Guildford, will now go before the West Midlands Police and Crime Panel for confirmation on 25th of July. West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner Simon Foster said, "I am pleased to announce Craig Guildford as my preferred candidate to be the next Chief Constable of West Midlands Police. Craig Guildford will be responsible for working with me to deliver my police and crime plan and my core pledge of rebuilding community policing. I also expect the incoming Chief Constable to reduce crime and drive recruitment to make West Midlands Police look more like the communities it serves. Appointing a Chief Constable is one of the most important decisions I will make whilst in office. Craig Guildford will be responsible for preventing and tackling crime so as to ensure the West Midlands is a safe and secure place for people to live and work. He is an outstanding police leader and I look forward to working closely with him." He added, "Sir David Thompson has been an excellent Chief Constable and will continue to lead the force into the Commonwealth Games and through to the end of the year. Sir David has modernised the force and had to grapple with the huge challenges of austerity and ever-changing threats to public safety."
Work on a highly anticipated metro route has entered a new phase this week. Construction along Castle Hill in Dudley Town Centre has reached a significant milestone, with activity switching to the opposite side of the busy thoroughfare, allowing completion of the track. The works are part of the Wensbury to Briley Hill metro extension, which is being designed and built by the Midland Metro Alliance on behalf of Transport for West Midlands. One-way traffic will continue to be maintained in the direction of Castlegate Island, and all businesses in the area remain accessible and open as usual. Marilyn Grisette, Transport for West Midlands programme sponsor, said, "It's fantastic to be at this stage in the project, where we're able to show off the work which has been done so far, including the significant progress along Castle Hill. Businesses and the town's fantastic visitor offerings near to where we are working remain open as usual, and they would love to see you in this summer." Since work got underway in March 2020, a considerable amount of activity has taken place, including utility upgrades and diversions, removal of the existing road surface, creation of concrete track beds, installation of ducting for system integration, and a total of 350 metres of rail laid. These works will be replicated when construction moves to the opposite side of the street in the coming days.
Vulnerable tenants in the Black Country are now being forced to pay for electric through pay-as-you-go meters in their rooms. Prepaid meter is the most expensive way of purchasing electric, and tenants already struggling with the cost of living crisis are being left alone in darkness. Having 1 meter per house is commonplace, but installing meters in each room is new, with renters being faced with the proposition in properties in Walsall, Wednesbury, Bilston and Wolverhampton. Wednesfield South Councillor Bhupinder Kakal, who last month revealed desperate families in Wolverhampton were cutting themselves off from gas and electric due to fear of high bills, branded pay-as-you-go meters as terrible. He said, "Installing pay-as-you-go electric meters in rooms is terrible. I'm lost for words. I'm trying to find out how many of these are in Wolverhampton and what we can do about it." Landlords are obviously seeing pound signs now as electric bills are going up. Paying the meter is very expensive. There are no deals to be made. So now we have the poorest and the most vulnerable sitting in the dark because they cannot afford to feed the meter. The Tenants' Voice Support Group warned those using meters to guard against paying a debt incurred by former tenants. A spokesman advised, "Landlords install prepayment meters for electricity and gas to ensure that certain utility provider bills are paid without having the problem of pursuing the tenant for any bills that may be outstanding at the end of the tenancy. If you're moving into a rental property that has prepayment meters, you need to be certain that you are not paying the previous tenants or your landlord's debts." He added, "If the landlord sells cards to you, the money you pay will be used to pay your energy bill. If the bill is not paid by the landlord or letting agents, the debt will be added to the meter by the energy company. This means that you will not only be paying for your own consumption of gas and electricity, but also a percentage of the debt."
Up next, we hear from Helen, who of course has for us the Beacon update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here with your weekly update of all things Beacon. I've got loads to talk about this week, so I will get straight to it with a lovely story all about West Midlands Billiards and Snooker Association, who have been raising money for Beacon. So they've been holding collections throughout their season, and they recently presented our fundraising coordinator, Sarah, with a cheque for more than £400 at their presentation evening. We're proud to say that they are long-term supporters of Beacon and have raised more than £5,500 to support people impacted by sight loss locally over the years. What incredible support, eh? Now, next up. If there's one thing in life we can all agree on, it's that sprucing up your CV is one of the toughest bits of job searching. Yeah, we've all been there at some point, I think. It can be hard to know what to write or even where to start. So if you're thinking that you want to get back into the workplace and you're in need of a helping hand, then we've spoken to our employment officer, Ian. He's given us some latest tips on how to make your CV stand out in our online blog. You can read it on our website, www.beaconvision.org/top-tips-4-your-CV. So that's top tips for your CV with a hyphen between each word. Next, have you had a sort out at home recently? Well, if you have and you've got some good quality clothing, homeware or furniture that could have a new lease of life elsewhere, then you can donate it to Beacon and help us raise funds to support people with sight loss. We can even collect your furniture for free. Call 01902 880 111 to book a collection. Lastly this week, did you know that it's just been International Sunglasses Day? Now, none of us should really need an awareness day to remind us to put on a pair. In fact, it's really important that you wear them all year round. Putting on a pair of sunglasses is not only one of the easiest ways to help with bright light and glare, but it will also protect your eyes from harmful ultraviolet light. And that's not just during summer. If you'd like to get advice about getting the right pair for you, give our sight loss advisors a call on 01902 880 111. That's 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. That's inquiries@beaconvision.org. Right, that's it from me for this week. I am off to put my sunglasses on and enjoy a walk in the sunshine while it's still here. I'll catch up with you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that jam-packed update, Helen. Up now, it's our next block of local news. And starting this one off, we first hear Angela.
The leader of Dudley Council has been found to have been disrespectful to the commander of the town's police force after an investigation into his behaviour upheld only one out of 6 points. But Patrick Hawley, the Conservative leader for the Black Country Borough, claimed that the complaints themselves were a damp squib bought by an elite group of people. Councillor Hawley was hauled in front of a standards committee after accusing Chief Superintendent Kim Maddell of belonging to the Woke Brigade. The comments were said to breach the council's code of conduct, first started by a row over an illegal travellers' camp. The committee itself has no power to suspend or disqualify a member, but can order a formal censure through a motion, withdraw access to facilities, or arrange training. Daniel Stillitz QC, who investigated the complaint, upheld the complaint by West Midlands Police. He said that while Councillor Hawley's comments were not significant enough to be categorised as bullying, he concluded they were disrespectful, unwarranted and inappropriate. When approached for comment, Councillor Hawley said, "Mr Jardine, the employee of the Labour Police and Crime Commissioner, brought the complaint and raised 6 points. The panel dismissed all of them, including one wishing to bar politicians from speaking directly to the media. The only one upheld was me being disrespectful. Not known for my diplomacy, I can accept that one." The panel then decided to not recommend anything further. No apology, no training, or any other sanctions. "I shall continue to speak up for the people of this borough and will certainly continue to hold an ineffective Labour Police Crime Commissioner to account and ensure West Midlands Police play their full part in enabling us to deal with unauthorised encampments instead of passing the buck as they did in November last year."
Labour is still lagging behind the Tories and needs to do much more to win the next general election, Lord Austin has said. The former Dudley North MP, who quit Labour in opposition to Jeremy Corbyn's leadership, said victory in the Wakefield by-election marked a good night for his old party. But, he said, the result, coupled with the Lib Dems' win in Tiverton and Honiton, did not mean Labour was primed to win a national poll. Meanwhile, another former Black Country Labour heavyweight, Tom Watson, said voters would reserve judgment on Sir Keir Starmer's party until they see the next election manifesto. Lord Austin has been a major critic of Labour since he resigned from the party in February 2019. He said, "Obviously, it is a good night for Labour and the Lib Dems, and a bad one for the Tories, but historically, by-elections tell us very little about subsequent general elections." Mr Austin pointed out that the Tories had lost 15 seats at by-elections between 1979 and 1992, but went on to win general elections in 1983, 1987 and 1992. He said while the Conservatives lost 8 by-elections after 1992 ahead of the general election defeat in 1997, Labour had much bigger leads in opinion polls all the way through. Labour needs to be much further ahead now to be confident of winning the next general election.
Uptake for smear tests has fallen across Staffordshire and the Black Country, latest figures show. Cervical screenings are important tests that can help prevent the fourth most common cancer in women. But figures show women across England are still regularly skipping the straightforward procedures with fear, embarrassment, or a lack of understanding of what they involve among the reasons why, according to Joe's Cervical Cancer Trust. Currently in full swing, the charity's annual Cervical Screening Awareness Week aims to highlight the importance of regular screenings and help those with concerns about getting the tests. Screenings are offered to women and people with a cervix aged 25 to 49 every 3 years, while those aged 50 to 64 receive their invitations every 5 years. A small sample of cells is taken and checked for precancerous abnormalities. But the percentage of patients eligible for a smear test by the end of 2021 who actually attended a screening and got a clear result fell across the Black Country and Staffordshire compared to December 2019, according to NHS digital data. In Dudley, it dropped from 73 to 72%, in Walsall from 73 to 70%, 68 to 66% in Sandwell, 69 to 65% in Wolverhampton, and 76 to 74% in Staffordshire. Across England, 70% of eligible women had an adequate screening by the end of 2021, against a national target of 80%.
Abbey Lodge Care Home in Cranmere Avenue, Tettenhall, was put up for sale earlier this month after inspectors put it in special measures, prompting residents to be moved out. A damning report by the Care Quality Commission reported significant issues with its care, leadership and culture, with inspectors finding that vulnerable residents were put at risk and not always supported to safely eat and drink, putting them at risk of choking. Now, a carer with 30 years' experience has come forward to describe the scenes she witnessed as disgusting. Annie, who asked not to reveal her surname, said, "It was disgusting, the things that have gone on in there. I've done care for over 30 years and I've never seen anything like it." Her comments come as a woman said she was relieved her grandmother was taken out of the home, otherwise she would have died. Kimberly Hughes said her 78-year-old Nan Lily went into Abbey Lodge as a before going into rehab and eventually returning home. However, the treatment she received, or lack of treatment, was horrendous. "It resulted in me going over there one evening and packing up all her things and I took her out of there," she said. "I went to Care Quality Commission with all my complaints, but when my complaint was put to the manager, he denied it all. I'm just glad I pursued it, otherwise it wouldn't have been shut down. She would have died if I left her in there."
Four historic buildings at Dudley Zoo will undergo a major refurbishment under new plans. The popular tourist attraction on Castle Hill has submitted plans that will see renovations to the Discovery Centre and the Queen Mary Restaurant. The Elephant House and the Tropical Bird House will also be upgraded and restored under a scheme put forward to Dudley Council. A planning statement on behalf of Dudley Zoo and Castle says the scheme proposes to restore, renovate and reconfigure the existing Grade 2 and 2 star listed buildings and provide new uses for these underused buildings. Work to the Grade 2 listed Queen Mary, formerly the Castle Restaurant, will see outbuildings demolished and repairs to the roof, window, ceilings and doors. The Grade 2 listed Discovery Centre, which was originally the Moat Cafe before operating as an education centre, is said to be in poor condition due to lack of use and in need of a major overhaul. The statement says the building's use will be relocated to a purpose-built facility and the Moat Cafe returned to provide support to the Queen Mary. The Grade 2 star listed Tropical Bird House, which has been out of use for years, will be stripped out and repaired ahead of its reopening as a mixed-use building that can allow for adaptation to suit a range of activities. According to the statement, the Grade 2 listed Elephant House has fallen into disrepair since it ceased to house elephants in 2003. It will undergo a strip out and repair, with bosses said to be considering using it as an extension to the monkey enclosure. The statement concludes, "The proposed improvements will help to better the current state of the buildings and will conserve a unique set of structures that otherwise would go into disrepair and become structurally unstable."
Up now, it's time to engage those mental gears as we have the quiz for this week.
Hello and welcome to this week's cocktail-themed flashback quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, Here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What initially inspired cocktails? Question 2. Name the man who invented Pimm's. Question 3. What is the title of someone who creates cocktails in a bar? Question 4. Where are Angostura bitters made today? Question 5. What were non-alcoholic cocktails often called? And finally, question 6. Where can you find the cocktail that cost £8,880 per glass? Wow. As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck.
Thank you for those questions, Mina. I'll of course give those a ponder as the show progresses. But up now, we have another block of local news. And first up for this one, it's Christine.
A pilot service has been launched to offer support to new refugees in Wolverhampton. The City Service, which was officially unveiled at an event to mark Refugee Week at Wolverhampton's Refugee and Migrant Centre last week, will provide help to migrants, refugees and asylum seekers. The team includes an immigration advisor, housing officer, health and wellbeing engagement officer, school liaison officer, family support worker and a young person mentor. The new service has been commissioned to meet the diverse needs of the city's communities, address gaps in existing provision, and to relieve the pressure on the Refugee and Migrant Centre, an award-winning charity that supports clients from across the Black Country and Birmingham. Councillor Jasbir Jasbal, the City of Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for Public Health and Wellbeing, said, "Wolverhampton is a diverse and culturally rich city, and as a council, we are focused on ensuring our residents, particularly those new to the city, have access to the help, support, advice and guidance they need. We can only do this in partnership with organisations like the Refugee and Migrant Centre, but we appreciate that they are facing an incredibly high level of demand at the present time, not least because of the refugee crisis caused by the war in Ukraine. We are pleased to be able to fund this new service, offering advice about everything from immigration, housing and education to health and well-being. I have already heard about the positive impact the team is having in supporting access for newly arrived Ukrainian families and in enabling the council to support some of our most vulnerable individuals who do not have access to public funds."
Stourbridge MP Suzanne Webb has welcomed the government's announcement that it will outlaw flashing online images sent to trigger seizures in people with epilepsy, following a two-year campaign she was involved in. Zach's Law has been supported by Suzanne after she heard how Zach Eagling, who suffers from epilepsy, was sent flashing images on social media by vile trolls after meeting his mother. Zach, who also has cerebral palsy, was sent the images while he took part in a charity walk around his garden in 2020, aged only 9. Ms Webb has worked for nearly 2 years with fellow MP Dean Russell and the Epilepsy Society to push for the legislation. Minister Chris Philp this week announced a commitment to introduce a standalone offence to tackle internet trolls who maliciously target the 600,000 people with epilepsy in the UK. The drafting of the legislation will happen over the coming months. Mr Philp said he would engage with the Epilepsy Society and other relevant organisations to ensure the legislation is delivered. Ms Webb said, "I'm delighted with this announcement for Zach, his family and for all those who suffer from epilepsy and have the right to be safe while online. It has taken some time since I met with Zach's mum, Claire Keir, and I sat on the draft online safety bill committee, but it is a big win and one that is much needed. It has been an honour to work with Zach and his mum, my colleagues and the Epilepsy Society to lobby for this important change in the law. Zach is quite simply a true inspiration and is selflessly making a massive difference. I know he's really pleased with this announcement and I thank the Minister for listening to those who have worked on this campaign."
Residents in Wolverhampton were awoken by a loud fire alarm ringing around the city, originating from the Molyneux Stadium a few months after a fire broke out at Wolves' home ground. But the cause is a mystery, as Wolverhampton Wanderers confirmed that there was no fire at the stadium this time around. A spokesperson at Wolves said, "The sound heard was the fire alarm at Molyneux Stadium, but we can confirm that there was no fire and the cause is unknown." Hundreds of people took to social media posting inquiries about a loud siren going off at about 11 p.m. on Tuesday the 21st, with some comparing it to a war siren or from the Purge film series. There was some concern, as the same alarm was heard when a fire broke out at Molyneux in January this year, severely damaging a hospitality suite. Some people complained about the loud alarm on social media, saying that they could not sleep because of it. One person said, "It is going to be the longest day at this rate, because none of us will get to sleep with that racket." Despite concerns it could be a prank or an actual air raid siren, Molyneux staff confirmed it was the fire alarm, but there was no fire, with the reason for the alarm going off unknown.
Climate change is back on the agenda in Dudley Borough after a protest outside the council house was backed by councillors. Environmental campaigners gathered outside Dudley Council House before a scrutiny meeting was held about the authority's climate change policy. The demonstrators were joined by a handful of passers-by and received support from members of Dudley Labour Group, including new Wollaston and Stourbridge Town Councillor Kat Eccles, Labour Deputy Leader Councillor Judy Foster and Councillor Palmjit Sahota, Shadow Member for Regeneration and Enterprise. Local environmental campaigner Andrew Tromans, who helped coordinate the demonstration, said, "It seems like climate is back on the agenda in Dudley. This was an encouraging start and I hope to see a clear plan of action emerge soon." At the scrutiny meeting, the Council's Deputy Chief Executive Balvinda Heron explained the Council's climate strategy includes an instruction for every department to review how it can work more environmentally friendly. Protester organiser Mark Binnersley said, "Dudley Council has created a very encouraging climate strategy and it's clear the leadership understands the issues and knows what needs to be done. This is really promising. The key now will be to deliver and involve citizens in that process, as was promised during the meeting. To help the public arrive at an informed perspective, it is vital that those involved are given information on the latest data from experts with a variety of scientific backgrounds, as well as examples of schemes that have worked elsewhere in the world."
A nuisance Wolverhampton pub has lost its licence for the second time in 2 years following a catalogue of angry complaints from neighbours and repeated incidents where police were called. The Pendulum in Bladen Road, Penderford, previously had its licence revoked in May 2020 after officers caught people drinking inside the premises during the COVID lockdown. The pub was later allowed to reopen, subject to a number of conditions. Police chiefs applied for the latest review this week after reports that the venue, which is in the Oxley ward, was failing to uphold licensing objectives and had links to criminal activities. During a visit in February this year, officers found 3 males living at the pub who were working illegally. The premises also operates a car wash on its car park. Council solicitor David Abel told the hearing that the premises had a history of complaints and no attempts had been made to rectify any breaches of the licensing conditions. For several years, a number of residents living near the pub have called for it to be shut down and demolished, saying they have had enough of constant late-night noise and repeated antisocial behaviour. One letter to the council said the pub didn't care about the nuisance they make of themselves. Another added, "When I first moved to the area, it was a well-run, family-friendly pub. This is a far cry from the current situation. It appears that for many years now, the pub has been run by landlords who just don't care about the local residents. If you mention the pub to local people, they don't have a good word to say about it, and they are certainly not using it.
Are you planning on any international travel this year? Well, there might still be COVID restrictions. Up now, we hear about how you can navigate those. People who are eligible for a COVID-19 vaccination are being invited to grab a jab, particularly if they're planning to head abroad this summer. Though restrictions have ended or been relaxed in many parts of the world, some countries still require international visitors to either be vaccinated, to quarantine, or present a negative COVID-19 test result upon entry. Travellers are therefore urged to check the latest foreign travel advice available at www.gov.uk/coronavirus. This will confirm whether travellers will be allowed to entry from the UK in the first place, or if they will need to quarantine on arrival, and whether they need to show proof of vaccination status or a negative COVID-19 test. If a COVID-19 test is required, this must be booked through a private test provider, not the NHS. Some countries also ask for proof of having recovered from COVID-19 within the last 6 months. Clinics are continuing to operate over the coming weeks, offering residents the chance to get their first or second or their booster if it is due. Councillor Jasper Jaspal, the City of Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for Public Health and Wellbeing, said, "As COVID-19 restrictions are relaxed, international travel, either for business or pleasure, is back on the cards for many this summer. If you're planning on heading overseas, don't forget to check if there are any entry requirements in place to stop the spread of COVID-19. We've seen a gradual rise in infection rates over the last couple of weeks, so it's really important that we carry on taking steps to protect ourselves, and that includes getting vaccinated if we're due a jab. It won't just protect us, but will protect others too." Up now, we've got our final block of local news for this edition, and this is brought to us first by Ian.
The Gypsy King cut a colourful figure as he drew a large crowd to a special night of entertainment. WBC World Heavyweight Boxing Champion Tyson Fury wowed those attending an evening with him at KK's Steel Mill in Wolverhampton. Wearing a multicoloured suit and exuding charisma, the 33-year-old Fury posed for pictures at a meet and greet with sponsors and guests who had paid extra to get their photos taken with the undefeated world champion. The event, which was organised by Andy Sahota of Show Fighter Productions, was a full night of entertainment with dancers, a set from local rapper Reaper, and a chat with Tyson's father, John Fury, before the main event saw the Gypsy King take the stage. He ran onto the stage shirtless before holding court, and at one point was joined by his son Prince for a rendition of American Pie. Mr. Sahota was also called up to the stage for a pint-downing competition. It was the end to a full day of appearances by Tyson Fury, who was spotted jogging along the Staffordshire and Worcestershire Canal in Castlecroft earlier in the day and stopping for photographs with fans. Councillor Ellis Turrell, who represents Tetnall, Whittick, said, "It's fantastic to welcome the Gypsy King himself, Tyson Fury, to our corner of Wolverhampton. It's been great to see him enjoying what Tetnall Whittick has to offer. There were some surprised local residents this morning when they spotted him jogging along the canal through Castlecroft and Whittick. Tyson is a great friend to Wolverhampton and I hope he enjoys his time in the city. We would be delighted to welcome him back to Tetnall any time."
American superstar Barry Manilow shocked staff of a country pub by turning up with his entourage. The singer of Could It Be Magic and Mandy visited the Swallow's Nest, Romsley, last Tuesday. The singer, who performed a sold-out show in Birmingham the previous weekend, ordered cod and chips costing £13.95 and posed for pictures with staff. Supervisor Stephanie Smurthwaite told the media, "At first, no one would believe it was actually him, but it was 100% Barry Manilow. He had his tour bus with him. He was great with staff and customers and enjoyed his cod and chips. His team enjoyed themselves too. It was nice for all the staff who were working to have a moment like this with him." Customer Suzanne Dodd did not realise the Copacabana singer was sitting near her until he left. She said, "I cannot believe I was sitting outside by him and never twigged. We were more concerned a big black coach had blocked us in, and it was Barry.
A Wolverhampton student has won a prestigious national competition for her report on surrogate births inspired by her aunt's journey. Wolverhampton Grammar School student Japal Uppal was chosen as one of the winners of the BBC's Young Reporter competition. The announcement was made on BBC's One Show with the 16-year-old's report deemed the best submission for the West Midlands. Japal's winning report covered the issue of surrogate births and was inspired by the personal story of her aunt's journey to having a baby via this method. Japal's baby cousin, Qatar, who was born on March 4th this year with the help of surrogate Marissa, was the 1,100th baby to be born through COTS, childlessness overcome through surrogacy, the first UK surrogacy agency. The agency was founded in 1988 by Kim Cotton, the UK's first surrogate mother, whom Japal interviewed for her report. The focus of intense media coverage in the UK at the time, and not all of it positive, Kim's experience had a profound impact on Japal, who was spurred on to dig deeper and bust some of the myths surrounding surrogacy, as well as touching upon the disappointment and shame that some women may feel when they have been unable to conceive naturally or become pregnant through IVF treatment. Japal said, "I am extremely happy to be amongst the winners of the BBC Young Reporter competition. I have always loved studying English, and my first taste of journalism came when I was the runner-up in a national competition in Year 7 for a piece on beauty pageants. This time, when I was choosing my topic, I was moved by my auntie's experience and the many misconceptions around the subject area."
Sir Lenny Henry has told how the late Eric Morecambe encouraged him to always be proud of who he is. The Dudley-born star said that as a young up-and-coming comedian, he modelled himself on 70s comic Charlie Williams, who was famous for his self-deprecating humour. But an encounter with Morecambe convinced him to rethink his approach and be proud of his background. Sir Lenny also reflected on how his attempts to integrate with his peers in the black country as a youngster led to him losing part of his Caribbean identity. He said when he was making a name for himself as a young performer in the 1970s, he tended to make himself the butt of the joke. "As a young performer in the 70s, I performed in front of mainly white audiences, and my material consisted mainly of impressions and self-deprecatory jokes, where my race was often the punchline. I had watched Charlie Williams on the Comedians TV show and learned from him. He was the most prominent black comedian in the country and told jokes like, 'If you don't laugh, I'll move in next door to you. That'll bring your rent down.' My 16-year-old self said, 'If it's good enough for Charlie, then it's good enough for me.' But he said his attitude changed after meeting Morecambe during a Royal Command performance on the Isle of Wight, adding, 'The late, great Eric Morecambe approached me and said, "You're really, really good, but you don't have to do that material for anybody." Eric didn't have to say any more. I was young enough to blame my decisions on integration, but old enough to know that my natural and inclusive sense of humour had momentarily deserted me."
An international Bangra star returned to his Wolverhampton primary school to inspire the next generation of dancers. Sohan Kaylee wowed the children at West Park Primary School, Whitmore Reans, with his colourful costumes and dancing whilst delivering an anti-bullying message. He said, "I wanted to spread the joy of Bangra dancing with all the children and teachers 35 years after leaving as a pupil. A lot has changed and I was really impressed with the new development and the school values of respect, aspiration, resilience and integrity. The children showed all these aspects and more whilst learning Bangra dancing." Sohan, who has performed across the world, including New York and the Far East, first got his love for Bangra at primary school when the Hazda Punjab dancers visited. He said, "It was at West Park Primary School where I loved being on stage and performing in the school Bangra dance team. We used to dance in the playground and in the hall, and then we started to get requests to perform at other schools for special celebrations. So going back was going full circle, right to the beginning of my performing arts journey. I feel on a real high and the buzz is amazing. Sohan delivered Bangra dance workshops linked in with citizenship, history, geography, music, and a great way for the children to learn and understand about the diverse world around them. He added, "The workshops are a great way to lead up to Sports Day and help promote children's health and well-being."
Up now, it's trivia time, brought to us by Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature.
Hello again, everyone. I hope that you've been all enjoying the spell of hot weather that's been shining on us lately. And what better reason is there to reach for a nice glass of something fresh and cool to drink? Talking of which, let's have a look at something that's fashionable these days. Now then, did you know that? Cocktails were initially inspired by British punches, which contained spirits, fruit juices and spices in big bowls. The term cocktail was first seen on March the 17th, 1798, as referred to from a newspaper. Though the origin of mixed drinks can be traced back to the 17th century. It wasn't clear where, who, or how the original cocktail was created, however. And of course, one of the most familiar of cocktails, particularly during Wimbledon, is Pimm's. Invented by James Pimm, the owner of a London oyster bar, invented the drink sometime between 1823 and 1840. The original version featured gin, quinine and various herbs, and it was reported it aided digestion. In a bar these days, there are bartenders and there are mixologists. The art of mixology is the study or skill of inventing, preparing and serving mixed drinks or cocktails. All mixologists must be the elite of bar staff, offering in some cases a flamboyant performance to please and entertain the happy drinkers. And if you take a tour down the drinks aisles of many supermarkets, you'll find a bottle of Angostura bitters. It's an important addition to many a cocktail cabinet, and whose recipe is still closely guarded secret since its creation in 1824. It's named after the town in Venezuela where it was first made, although now it's produced in Trinidad. And mocktails, of course, are non-alcoholic mixed drinks, also known as virgin cocktails, boneless cocktails, temperance drinks, but all the cocktail style drinks made without alcoholic ingredients, and also called zero proof drinks. The non-alcoholic drink dates back to the earliest days of the cocktail age, appearing as temperance drinks in the first American cocktail books, including Jerry Thomas's Bartender's Guide of 1862. And a cocktail named Gigi by London's Mayfair Bar, also named Gigi, currently holds the trophy for the world's most expensive cocktail. It's quite literally the price of a brand new car. A real snippet, just £8,880 a glass. It's made with vintage crystal champagne and a rare Armagnac brandy from 1888. Well, I don't know about you, but although cocktails are meant to be cooling, the price in that last item sent me hot under the collar. As you can imagine, I'll be sticking to a glass or two of pop or a nice cup of tea. So I'm off. I'll put the kettle on, I think, and relax a while. So bye for now. I'll be back next week with more to talk about. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Cheers very much for those facts, Roger. Up now, it's time to move over into the sport.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news.
Jed Wallace says he joined Albion for one reason: to win promotion to the Premier League. Widely regarded as one of the best players in the Championship, the 28-year-old put pen to paper on a four-year deal at the Hawthorns last week. Albion beat off competition from a host of clubs to land the former Millwall man, with Burnley and Watford also believed to have been chasing his signature. Wallace is Albion's second capture of the summer, with manager Steve Bruce also beating off rivals to land John Swift.
and Swift's arrival helped convince Wallace that the Baggies are serious about winning promotion this year. When you look at this club over the last 15 years, certainly in my lifetime, they've always been at the top of this league, if not the league above, he said. That aligns with where I want to be playing my football. I want to get promoted. I've been trying to do that for the last 3 or 4 seasons. I feel like I can find that ambition here. Hopefully we can reach our goal, which is to have a few bottles of champagne, a little party and promotion at the end of the season. Wallace revealed manager Bruce was also key to his move to the Hawthorns. When I spoke to him, I felt like I'd play my best football under someone like him, he added. I just felt it was the right time at my age to be really ambitious and to take the next step in my career. Wolves' loanees, including Adama Traore, Patrick Cutrone and Leo Bonatini, are set to return to pre-season training before their long-term futures are decided. Those players that were not called up to their national sides for the recent international fixtures have now returned to Compton. Among that group is expected to be a handful of loan players who have yet to secure their long-term futures. After Traore's loan spell at Barcelona fizzled out, with a Spanish side unlikely to activate their £29 million option to buy the winger, he is likely to return to Wolverhampton next week, with just 1 year remaining on his contract and his future uncertain. Forgotten strikers Cutrone and Bonatini, who both also have 1 year remaining on their Wolves deals, are also expected to return for pre-season training. Wolves are hoping to secure a permanent move for Cutrone this week in an effort to recoup some of the £16 million they paid for him in 2019. While Bonatini is also unlikely to have any impact on the first team under Bruno Lage and is expected to leave either permanently or on another loan. A number of youngsters that the club loaned out last season will also be eager to impress when they return to training next week. Morgan Gibbs-White was offered a new deal after an impressive season at Sheffield United, but his future is yet to be resolved. Ryan Giles has secured a season-long loan at Middlesbrough, while Dion Sanderson is one to keep an eye on. Both players enjoyed success in the first half of the season and switched loan clubs in January before a lacklustre second half to the campaign. The players that have been away on international duty are set to arrive at Compton a week later, on July the 4th. Several players are expected among that group, including Connor Cody, Ruben Neves and Raul Jimenez.
Are you ready to get moving? Well, let's hope so, because up now, we have the 10-today workout.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Mary, and here she is.
Hello and welcome to 10 Today, Series 2, Session Number 4. These are short, 10-minute physical activity routines, which will get you moving and stretching. They're great for your health, including boosting your mood. And very importantly, they are designed to support your everyday movements, your functional fitness, your flexibility, balance and mobility, such as when you have to reach up, turn, bend down and so on. These simple routines will help you with that. Just take them at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If an exercise feels too much, then just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either standing up or sitting down. Just do whatever feels good for you today. When lifting your arms or knees, only go as far as is comfortable. And if you have any problems with your knees or hips, take care not to twist them during the movements. It can also help to pull in your tummy when you're bending your back. and just breathe normally throughout these activities. We want you all to do these activities safely. You are responsible for monitoring how you're feeling throughout the sessions. And if you feel any discomfort or pain, for example, if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, then please stop and seek medical advice. You agree to take part at your own risk. If you're remaining seated, it would be ideal if you can use a hard chair, preferably one without arms, such as a dining chair that you can sit upright in with a straight back and your feet flat on the floor. If you're standing, just step your feet hip-width apart, relax your shoulders and take a good strong stance. And you might want to have a sturdy chair nearby to hold on to sometimes for balance. We hope you enjoy 10 Today. So we're going to start with a warm-up. You're just going to quickly tap or pat different parts of your body. So briefly tap along each arm, one at a time, in different places. Your upper arm, your forearm, and your wrist. And do the same on both arms. Then pat the top of both legs, just quickly tapping up and down your legs in various places towards your knees for a few seconds. Great, you should be nicely warmed up now and ready to move. So we're going to start with the twister. Start with your feet hip-width apart and place your hands on your hips. You're just going to twist gently from either side, rotating your upper body and waist. Just turning first one way and then the other. Go a bit further now into the hip, but be careful not to twist your knees. Keep turning from side to side and back to the centre, keeping your hands on your hips. Couple more times now. Twist a little bit further if you can. This is great for your hip rotation and your core. Next up, it's lean forward. Now with this one, you're going to lean forward and touch your opposite hand to your knee. So leaning forward, take the left hand to the right knee and come back to an upright position. Now take the right hand to the left knee. Keep alternating between left and right, coming back to an upright position in the middle, and only go as far as your body allows. If you'd like to try going a little bit further this time, you get a nice stretch in your back. So just do a few more to the left, to the centre, then right, and back to the centre. Keep going. This is really good for your back and your core. Now it's opening the chest. So in the usual starting position, with your feet hip-width apart and your shoulders relaxed, just lean forwards a little and take both arms forward and down in front of you. Then straighten back up, stretching those arms out to each side at the same time, in line with your shoulders, to open your chest. This is a nice flowing movement with your arms. And again, leaning forwards, both arms coming down in front of you, coming back up, lifting and open your arms to the sides. So lean forward, come back up and squeeze the shoulder blades together as you stretch your arms out to each side to really open the chest. A couple more times now. Going a little bit lower if you can. This is great for your arms, chest and balance. Well done. The next one is called Rush the Intruder. Step your right foot forward, bending your knee into a comfortable lunge with the foot of your back leg slightly raised on its toes. Now punch out with your opposite arm straight in front of you, then pull that arm back and step back. Now repeat on the other side. So step forward with your left foot this time and punch out with the opposite arm. Pull it back and step back. Keep going. Alternating between left and right. If it's comfortable, you can go slightly wider with the punches and deeper with the lunge, bending that back knee. Just keep going for a couple more. That's great. This is really good for your arms and balance and core. Now it's track the sun. So with your feet hip-width apart and starting with a nice straight back and your tummy in,
raise both arms up over your head and gently circle each one in the air, moving from your shoulders. Now turn to the right as if you're following the sun, keeping your feet still, all the time moving your arms and making circles. Then come back to the centre with your arms still raised, then turn to the left, arms high and circling in the air. Keep turning from the left to the right a few more times. Make the circles a little bit wider if you can. That's good. And back to the centre and arms down. This is great for your hip rotation, shoulders and your arms. The next one is push the figure. Step your right foot forward and slightly bend your knee into a lunge position with the foot of your back leg slightly raised on its toes. Bring both arms up to chest height, holding them out in front of you with your elbows slightly bent. Now you're going to make a figure of eight with your hands, as if the figure eight is on its side. So a lovely flowing movement with your arms, making that figure of eight shape. Then stepping back and now stepping your left foot forward into that bent knee lunge and make a figure of eight again. Just keep going a few more times, alternating your feet and making lovely flowing movements with your arms and hands. And make that figure of eight a little bit bigger if you can. That's good. This is another one that's good for your shoulders, arms and balance. Well done. Now it's time for block across. Lift both arms straight out in front of you, then bend your elbows, keeping them at shoulder height with your forearms in front of your face, a few inches apart and your hands in fists. Then move your arms apart, opening them up and taking them back in line with your shoulders. Keep your elbows bent and your forearms straight up so you're making a nice right angle with your arms. Then squeeze them in again in front of your face. So as you come out, squeeze the shoulder blades and then back in. And back out again, squeezing in and squeezing out. Repeat those in and out movements a few more times, keeping your arms at shoulder level. That's great. This one is really good for your chest. Next up, it's flight of the crane. So standing nice and straight with your feet hip width apart and your tummy in, stretch both arms out to each side in line with your shoulders, keeping them level if you can. Then circle your arms back, moving them from your shoulders to make small circling movements with each arm. Then step your right foot forward into a lunge position, knees slightly bent and still circling those arms. And now step back, reverse your arms to make small circles in the other direction and step forward with your left foot into that lunge position. Then step back. Repeat this a few more times, just switching feet from left to right and circling your arms from the shoulders. So that's one foot in front, knee slightly bent, and the other leg behind. Make sure your front knee isn't reaching any further forward than your toes. Keep going. Try to make wider shoulder circles if you can. This is another good one for your shoulders, arms, and your legs too. Now this next one is called Let's Run. So just start marching on the spot, lifting your knees and swinging your arms. That's it. Keep going. If you're sitting down, this is a very small movement. Take care not to lift your knees too high. If you're standing and you're able to, you can take your knees up a bit higher, increase your hip movement and swing your arms a bit more. Keep going. That's really good. This is great for your legs and balance. And the last one is swan neck. So lift your right hand up so it's level with the side of your head with the palm facing forwards. Move your arm slightly back until it's level with your shoulder, then push your arm up into the air, keeping it as high and as straight as you can. Then bring it back down, pause your hand at head level, and then lower it back down to your side. Swap arms and do exactly the same again, taking your left hand up level with the side of your head, moving your arm back to shoulder line, extending it up high, and then back down again. Just repeat this movement a few more times, alternating from right arm to left arm each time. And try to keep those arms as straight as you can. This is great for your chest, back and core. That's all the exercises done. So we're just going to finish with a quick shake to cool down. So raise both arms up above your head towards the ceiling and just briefly wave your hands and arms in the air. Then lift one leg slightly from the floor if you can. Shake it out in the air for a second or two. Raise the other leg and shake that one too. Or you can just shake your upper body instead. So that's the end of the session. Great work, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have positive benefits for your physical health and improve your well-being too. It's short, it's fun, and you'll simply feel better. So do keep going.
Up now, we're to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, as always, by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead starts to look to be mostly dry and settled, with temperatures typically hovering around 21 degrees. UV levels are expected to be moderate throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 4:52 a.m. for the sunrise and 9:33 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday, 1st of July, we have sunny intervals and a light breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees. For Saturday, 2nd of July, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees. For Sunday, 3rd and Monday, 4th of July, it's sunny breaks and a flickering breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees. And on Tuesday, 5th of July through to Thursday, 7th of July, we have sunny moments and a pleasant breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees. So, that's your forecast for the week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thanks for that, Mina. Now we move over to Craig and his Black Country joke book.
Hello, I'm Craig, and I've got for you today some jokes from my Boston Black Country joke book. And apparently the elephants of Dudley Zoo have gone on strike. They're fed up working for peanuts. In addition to that, supervisors of the bunker caused the local funfair on strike because they think one of them suffered funfair dismissal. While we're talking about the world of work, a friend of mine puts blood, sweat and tears into everything he does. He's a great guy, but an awful chef. And finally, another friend of mine used to install kitchen work services. He was arrested for counterfeiting. Hang on, Craig, and that's my Black Country joke book.
Have you done any good at the quiz this week? Well, now's the time to find out, as we have the quiz answers.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What initially inspired cocktails? And the answer here is British punches. Question 2. Name the man who invented Pimm's. Answer: James Pimm. Question 3. What is the title of someone who creates cocktails in a bar? And the answer: a mixologist. Question 4. Where are Angostura bitters made today? And the answer here is Trinidad. Question 5. What were non-alcoholic cocktails often called? And the answer here is temperance drinks. And finally, question 6. Where can you find the cocktail that cost $8,880 per glass? And the answer here is Gigi's Bar in Mayfair, London. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of a cocktail shaker. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have some gardening tips for the month of July.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
This is Jan reading the regular gardening feature written by Jane. Hello again. I have discovered a few gardening tips to keep you busy and your gardens tidy and healthy in July. There are three main things to remember, and they all begin with W. 1. Watering. All plants, shrubs and lawns need water at this time of year. The temperature has by now risen, and plants, like humans, do not need to dehydrate. Tomato plants are best watered in the early morning and again in the evening. 2. Watching. We need to watch out for diseases on leaves. If you find diseased leaves, remove them. Search for dead leaves on the ground and pick them up in case the spores help the disease spread. Carry on mowing and fertilising the lawn. If you have a pond, remove any blanket weed and extra debris from the surface of the water and top up the pond with rainwater, not tap water. 3. Waiting. Watch and wait for soft fruits and summer vegetables to ripen. Avoid mildew by using appropriate sprays found in garden centres. You can harvest these fruits when they're ripe. Continue to plant autumn vegetables such as turnips and spring cabbages. And when summer flowers such as sweet peas and roses come into bloom, you can cut them to enjoy in the house. At this time of year, you might find water lilies blooming on ponds. They're also known as the lotus flower, or queen of the water. Their root system is known as a rhizome, which spreads out horizontally beneath the water. From some rhizomes, nodules create small plants from which new flowers will appear. Gardening flower shows for you to visit in July. 1. The Hampton Court Flower Show from the 4th to the 9th of July. 2. The RHS Flower Show at Tatton Park, Cheshire, from the 20th to the 24th of July. And 3. The RHS Hyde Hall Flower Show from August the 3rd to the 7th. There may be other flower shows to visit in your area. You'll find details of these online. Enjoy the warm July weather. And do try and visit a flower show if you are able to do so.
TNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe. Have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!